And Jesus got up at his synagogue in the temple and said, "I am the good shepherd." Wow, that would have just been astounding for his audience, which is the Jewish general public. They would have been religious Jews. They would have been Jews from the general public. You know, like when we have Easter and Christmas, people come off the streets. And they would have been the high priests, the teachers of the law, everyone there. And he says that. Now, what does Jesus mean when he calls himself the good shepherd? If you type this in, Jesus the Good Shepherd, in Google Images, you'll most probably find pictures of a man with long blonde hair, blue eyes, carrying a cuddly little lamb. Now, I don't think that's what Jesus meant, and I'm sure his audience in that day would not have understood that is what he meant. When Jesus says, "Good, I am the good shepherd," that word "good" was probably referring to the divine, to God. You might remember in Mark chapter 10, verse 19 or 18, when a man came to Jesus and called him good teacher. And Jesus responded, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So Jesus is therefore saying, "I am the divine shepherd. I am the divine spiritual shepherd. I am a shepherd that is unlike all human shepherds." It's a big deal when he says, "I am the good shepherd." And how do we know he's the good shepherd? Many of you already touched on this. First of all, the good shepherd knows his sheep. He is highly relational. He does know each and every sheep by name. He says in verses 14 to 15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." So there is this description of intimacy between the shepherd and the sheep, just as many of you said. It's not just knowing each other by name. "Oh, I know your name's Morel. I know your name's Vince." But the shepherd, the good shepherd, knows his sheep intimately, personally. And moreover, the example of intimacy here is the relationship between the Father and the Son. So that deep intimacy that is shared between God the Father and God the Son is the model for the shepherd's relationship with the sheep. And what does the good shepherd do? Well, Cameron already touched on this. The good shepherd protects. The good shepherd protects his sheep. Jesus says in chapter 10, verses 12 to 13, "The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." So the difference between the good shepherd and the bad shepherd or the hired hand is their commitment to the sheep. The good shepherd is highly committed, whereas the hired hand or the bad shepherd runs away at the first sign of trouble. The good shepherd, when there is trouble, stays. He stays to protect his sheep. And then we see that the good shepherd guides. We see this especially when Jesus adds in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, when Jesus was talking about these other sheep from another pen, who do you think he was referring to? The Gentiles. Thank you, Vince. I can always count on you for the right answers. Yes, the Gentiles, because the sheep in the pen would have been the Jews, and the sheep outside of the pen would have been the non-Jews. So they would have referred to us. Now, the Good Shepherd guides, because the Good Shepherd doesn't just lead whoever is considered to be on the inside, but the Good Shepherd also gives direction to those who are lost, those who are considered to be on the outside. And he guides them all into one flock towards God in one direction. So the Good Shepherd protects, the Good Shepherd guides, and most importantly, the Good Shepherd self-sacrifices. Twice we see Jesus in this passage say, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, this might seem a bit extreme to us. We would not really expect our next pastor, perhaps, to lay down their life for us. Maybe turn water into wine, but not give up their life for us. But you might be surprised, because I was reading a business journal. I don't know why, I just was. And it actually said something very interesting. It said that when good leaders, or when leaders demonstrate self-sacrificial behavior, it makes us see them as having higher moral values and as being a better role model. And one of the examples it gave was Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister of New Zealand, during the first year of COVID, when she and her ministers took a 20% pay cut in solidarity of the frontline workers, and also out of respect for those who had given up, who had lost their jobs during COVID. And this was seen as favorable among the public, as you can imagine. Can you imagine if ScoMo had done that? Maybe he would still be Prime Minister, who knows? So even in today's context, we do look favorably amongst at our leaders who are willing to make self-sacrifices in order to be one with their flock, in order to show they have compassion for what the rest of us are going through. Now, Jesus says not only that he shares a unique love with the Father, but he goes deeper into the meaning of the Father's love for him. He says that the main point in this relationship between him and the Father is his willingness to obey the Father. This is shown by his willingness to lay down his life for the sheep. Because God sent Jesus into this world to be that divine example of a shepherd leader, to protect his sheep, to guide his sheep, and to lay down his life for his sheep. See, on the cross, Jesus traded places with us. Jesus suffered the separation from God that we deserved, so that in return, in exchange, we can get the oneness with God that Jesus deserved. Jesus got the death sentence that we deserved on the cross, so that we can get the hope of eternal life with God that Jesus deserved. And then Jesus says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." So what Jesus is saying here is that his death is not going to be a result of human conspiracy. He's not a martyr whose life ends tragically. He is God's Son who has voluntarily come to lay down his life for the sheep. And then he will take it up again. And that is symbolizing the resurrection. He will take it up again to give us the hope of eternal life. This is all part of God's plan. And because Jesus has this intimate relationship with the Father, he wants to be part of this plan, and he obeys God's plan by coming down to earth, by being with us, by laying down his life for us, and then by rising again. So Jesus is the good shepherd who willingly protects, guides, and lays down his life for his sheep. So what? What does that mean for us today? Well, if Jesus is our good shepherd, then first of all, we will know him intimately, just as he knows the Father intimately. What does that mean to know Jesus intimately? Well, I think that's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. For example, we might be able to tell everyone who Jesus is. We might be able to rattle off all these propositional truths. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the life and the resurrection. We might be able to rattle all that off, but that will mean nothing if we don't experience that in our hearts. Do you experience Jesus as your good shepherd in who you are, in your inmost being? When you pray, do you spend time listening to Jesus, being open to who Jesus is in your life and in the lives of those around you? So first, if Jesus really is our good shepherd, we will know him intimately. And secondly, we will know his voice. Remember, Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." Now, we read further on in the passage that Nazi read for us in Farsi, that the Jews who heard Jesus' words were again divided. We see that the crowd is always divided when they listen to Jesus. Half of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But the other half said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by demons. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now, when Jesus is speaking, remember, he's speaking to the Jewish general public and to the high priest, the religious leaders, and to the religious Jews as well. So half of them are saying, "He's mad, he's a lunatic, we're not listening to him, he's possessed by the devil." The other half, though, still fails to fully recognize who Jesus is. They don't completely believe what he's saying, and yet they're not prepared to say, "He's mad, we're not going to listen to him at all." They're still open to possibilities, to the possibility that Jesus might be the Messiah, and they're unwilling to judge him. So my question to us today is, if Jesus were to walk in here right now, would we recognize him? Would you recognize him? You can yell out yes or no, or maybe. Of course, okay. Would we recognize him?
Yes.
Would we know his voice? Or are we too set in our ways? Are we too set in our Christian upbringing and learning, too closed off in our ideas of who we think Jesus is, to recognize, to be truly open to the true and the good shepherd? The good shepherd who willingly protects, guides, and lays down his life for his sheep. Food for thought. I'm going to pray, and then there will be a reflective song called The Shepherd. I want you to think on that and pray on that. But first of all, let me close in prayer. Our dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Good Shepherd, that you came to lay your life down for us. We thank you that for all that you were when you were here on earth, for all that you taught, all that you did, and all that you represented.